It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
The pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace, episode 104, and David Robertson is not with us today. He is under doctor's orders. He is receiving some well-earned rest and recuperation. He's up north. I'm Al Smith, and I'm joined in the studio today by the director of Solace CBC, Andy Bannister.
Well, Al, it's great to be with you, and I have to say the words rest and David Robertson are not two words I would often get in the same sentence, really. No, but theoretically, he is resting, so I'm in the hot seat today. Great to be with you.
Andy, we thought it would be a good idea to just maybe change it, and rather from the usual political fare that we get with David, it's an opportunity to kind of talk about really what Solace is up to. I mean, you've been here, what, 6 months?
Has been 6 months.
Seems it's, like a year.
Yes, the quality of the jokes probably make it feel that long.
Yeah, we just got to harness the pun power of you and David Hartnett. Right, so Andy, what's the highlight for you, really, in your time you've been here? What's it like being David Robertson's boss?
Well, do you know, the funny thing is, if I had £5 for every pun I've said to them, I'm David Robertson's boss, and they've laughed at me, including David's wife, I'd be rich by now. It's been an incredible 6 months, Al, in a number of ways. Firstly, I think in just how rapidly Solace has grown. I mean, those who are listeners who know and love David, although David has spent the last 5 years stretched very thin. He's been pastoring the church and seen incredible growth there at St. Pete's and doing 1,001 other things, and Solace has been just one of those. And so when I came on board, there was the sense of what would happen if we brought somebody in who could give much more time to it. And I think we've really seen that take off. I look at in terms of the places that Solace is getting invited to speak. I look in terms of the digital media.
You and David, you speak all over at Christian events, at evangelistic events. What last 3 months, what's been happening? Where have you been?
Yeah, so I think three highlights of the last 3 months to give a different flavor of some of the stuff that we've been doing. We've had some been involved in some university missions.
Yeah.
And
whereabouts?
So a lot of Christian groups now on campuses have these week-long missions. And so we've had, I was up in Aberdeen back in February for their mission, down in Edinburgh for the Edinburgh University mission, then across in Liverpool, just just there in Northern England, for an amazing week of ministry, and then some international ones as well.
What goes on? I mean, when I was at university, I wasn't a Christian. This thing just wasn't on the radar at all.
So you are now? Oh, right. Okay, that explains.
Yeah, I'm a Christian now, thankfully. Thank you, Lord. For those who've never experienced it, what is a university mission week? What's it about?
Exactly. Where University Mission Week goes, it's an attempt by which the Christians on campus try and get their non-Christian friends to come along, be engaged, to be talking about the Christian faith. And the way you invariably do that is we take some really hot topics, everything from science to sexuality to other religions, you know, tough topics, tough questions. We do lunch bars where someone like myself will do perhaps a half-hour talk addressing the question of the day. Loads of time for Q&A so people can bring their questions, food and so forth. And then in the evenings, perhaps slightly more relaxed format. And what excites me with those events, Al, is you often get people who are skeptics or atheists or agnostics will track with you throughout the whole week. Yeah. So one of our university missions, for example, I won't mention her name for privacy, but on day one, we had a woman come to our lunch bar who self-identified as a left-wing Marxist feminist, atheist, lesbian. I think those were her labels.
That's your target market.
I think she was baiting us partly to see whether one of those labels would cause her to react. And I think she was quite stunned when we said, well, welcome, help yourself to a sandwich. And then every day she was the first to the microphone with questions. But by the end of the week, you could see something beginning to go on there. Still a lot of long way to go. But when somebody comes to all 10 events in a week of university mission, something tells me the atheist part, maybe you're protesting just that a little bit too hard.
Nobody's an atheist, really.
Yeah, and then in the University of Aberdeen, for example, I did a lunch bar there on the question of the resurrection and why we can be sure historically that Jesus rose from the dead. And afterwards, it was incredible. Got the opportunity to talk there to a student who identified himself as an agnostic, but his opening line to me was he said I had Christian friends before. I thought I knew a bit about the Christian faith, but it had never occurred to me. It never even crossed my mind that there were good historical reasons why Christians believe what you do. He's now on the Alpha course there, I believe. Just a real privilege to be involved in, you know, answering people's honest questions, listening to their objections, but also showing that, you know, the things that we believe as Christians, there are reasons for. We don't believe the stuff just because it's pie in the sky. We believe the stuff for good reasons.
All right. So what you're talking about in this kind of university missions week, that to me sounds very like what we try to do with Quench events, except it's not a week long. We do it in, it's one event of an evening. Short talk, lots of opportunity for skeptics, atheists, agnostics, and Christians to ask questions they've got and answer any doubts. And then, you know, you have the discussions afterwards that lead where. So
that's right. So I think one of the things that that Solas were passionately convinced about, right, is if we take people's honest questions, do our best to answer them, listen, engage, and do so thoughtfully, amazing things happen. And these quench events that David and the team here came up with before I came, it's a brilliant format. So the idea is you encourage a church to rent perhaps a coffee shop or a restaurant or a pub, take a really tough topic, people bring their friends, we answer them, and we share the great news of what Jesus does around this question. So a good example, a few months ago I did in fact there were two of these type of events that stick in my memory. We did one in a pub in Stirling, just down the road from here. And so it was a pub run by Australians living here in Scotland. So the pub is called the Kilted Kangaroo, which is a great name for a pub.
Yeah, they do good burgers.
Oh, the food's great, the beer's good. And they asked me to come and speak on the topic of where is God in Aleppo? You know, great topic given all that's happening in Syria.
Yeah, I mean, that just leads into the whole issue of suffering, doesn't it? Pain and suffering.
And I think you came that night, right? The whole top floor was filled. We had about, I think afterwards they worked out about 40% were non-Christians. And what was interesting, there was one woman, I don't even remember, Alan, the Q&A. We went back and forth a few times. I remember afterwards I got an email from the organisers to say, well, that conversation then continued. And continued with her then getting a copy of my book, reading it through. And she's now meeting, or she was when I last got this email, was meeting one of the pastoral team on a regular basis to answer more of her questions. And hopefully is on a journey to discovering who Jesus is.
So the whole point of this is actually this is a way that local churches can actually do event evangelism, that they bring non-Christians.
That's right.
Along to, it's a way to kind of stimulate evangelism, isn't it, and get it going.
I think so. I think, you know, the thing that I've often found through, you know, 25 years of public ministry is that often what puts people off from doing these kind of events is that there's the cringe factor. So perhaps the pastor announces an evangelistic service and encourages people to bring their friends. Let's be honest, we all look at it and go, I'm not bringing my friend on Sunday morning. You know, the music's a bit funny. The pastor, he's okay, but he's not as engaged as he would like to think he is. And if I bring my friend to that, there's going to be a high cringe factor. I'll look bad. The gospel will look bad, and it'll do all kinds of damage. And also, maybe I'm scared to invite them to come to church. And then, of course, many non-Christians don't want to come across the door of a church. How do we solve that? Well, these quench events, I think, are brilliant because it's an incredibly easy ask. To turn to a friend at work, a colleague, a neighbour, and say, hey, do you want to come to the pub tonight? I'll buy the beer. We've got this really interesting speaker. He's addressing this incredibly fascinating topic. What do you think? It is the easiest evangelistic ask.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you're not inviting someone into church. You're going out to them.
You're going to their space. And of course, as Christians, why do we do this? Primarily, one reason we do it is because that's what Jesus did. If you look at the Gospels, he went into the secular space, into the public space. He didn't hide out there in the synagogues and say, well, I'll be here, and if you guys want to come. He was out in the marketplaces. He was out meeting people who had, you know, no connection to faith, and he went where they were. And as Christians, I think we need to think far more about how do we go where our atheist friends, our agnostic friends, our Muslim friends, our Buddhist friends, where they're hanging out, rather than, you know, sort of hide in our churches and hope they'll come to us.
The question of faith.
Okay, so you mentioned there we need to be thinking about how do we go out, how do we do more evangelism. The Solace conferences, that's historically been a way that we've had a day event in Dundee, big name speakers coming and addressing hot button topics to stimulate local Christians to think about these issues. Solace conferences are going to be changing next year. What's going on there? What are we doing?
The Solace conferences have been great. They work quite well. But one of the things I think we've realized is the numbers have been decreasing because I think people are willing to travel a long way once, but then, you know, once they've been a couple of times, maybe not. So how do we solve that? Well, what we're doing is we're taking Solace conferences on the road.
Yep.
So we're looking to partner with churches across Scotland and further afield, if you're a church leader listening to this and you're interested in this. And what the plan is, we partner with the local church and we provide the speaking content and the local church help promote it in the community, bring the people in. And therefore, rather than try and get perhaps, you know, 700 people into a conference in Dundee, what about if we go and find, you know, and do five conferences with 300 people in all around the country, and we can hit, you know, Inverness and Aberdeen and, you know, all over the shop. And so that's the plan for next year, to take Solas on the road. And hopefully that will open it up to a whole new audience rather than just those who are willing to come to where we are.
Two questions. Mm-hmm. How does a church get involved?
Yes.
And What if you're a small church in, say, a small town?
Absolutely.
Is this for you? What?
Yeah. Two great questions. In terms of how you get involved as a church, you can contact us, you can email or reach out to us on social media or give the Solus office a ring, and we'd love to hear from you, because in a sense we want to be hearing from church leaders rather than us going out and sort of trying to find them. But then in terms of the small church thing, you know, that's a great question. I get that all the time. I used to get that when I was in a similar kind of organization to this called RZAM, based in Canada. And we'd often get sort of churches saying, well, we'd love you guys to come, but there's only 50 in my church. I'd say the answer there is, what a great opportunity to go and talk to the other churches in your town that have a similar kind of number and partner together. I think one of the huge obstacles to the gospel so often is Christian unity. We're all doing our little thing in our little churches, and it's a great opportunity to go and find three or four other pastors in your town and say, hey, why don't we come together? And they can work with us at Solus, and we love to come into a town where we've seen churches do that. It's a much, much more powerful. So I would say, get together with others.
Okay. All right. Now, one of the big successes that we've noticed in your time here is just how successful the Short Answers web video series is becoming. I mean, this is growing arms and legs. It's taken off. For anyone who hasn't seen them yet, Short Answers, they're 4-minute long videos looking at different questions and giving an apologetic / evangelistic answer. I mean, what's the thinking behind Short Answers?
Yeah, I mean, Short Answers, we've been incredibly excited by. I mean, the numbers now, we're getting between 15 and 20,000 views, downloads, watches on this stuff. And the thinking behind Short Answers was twofold, really. Was, we live in a digital media age, right?
Yep,
everybody's on
absolutely.
Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of this stuff.
And if you want to reach the lost, you've got to go where they are, and they're on Facebook 8 hours a day.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. So how do we create a resource that works well there, and create a resource that Christians can share with their friends and use without hitting that kind of cringe factor sort of idea? So we came up with the idea of doing Short Answers, and Short Answers are basically these 3 to 4 minute videos that address really tough topical questions and do it in a way that I like to describe as skeptic friendly. We try and make sure there's not Christian theological language and this kind of stuff. We try and get it down to a level where somebody who hasn't got any connection with the Christian faith can understand what we're saying. And they're really designed, as I say, for sharing on social media or for kind of having in your back pocket, as it were. So perhaps you're talking to a friend at work about your faith, you've plucked up the courage, and your friend says, oh, you know, how can you believe in a God of love when there's suffering in the world? And you can say, well, that's a great question. Hey, I've got a video on that. Would you be willing to
absolutely.
Watch this?
I mean, that's what I've used it in my other job, for example, in the staff canteen at lunchtime. We're talking away and somebody raises an objection and says, well, hang on a minute, whip out the iPhone, bring up the video and sit down and watch it. And they're short enough, you can do that.
Job done, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've been so excited.
And it starts conversations, isn't it?
It does. And we're really excited to hear where people are using them. Like we've had emails in the last few weeks from, you know, people using them with their friends, people using them in youth groups. I had a message on Facebook just the other day from a guy in Australia who works for a school, and he was sharing how they've used them there with pupils and even staff in the staff room. And the school now is actually talking about finding ways to perhaps begin building them into the curriculum, because they're designed to be very accessible.
These are also evangelistic as well, though, aren't they? I mean, because if you're not doing evangelism and apologetics, then you're not doing either. If you're not doing them both, you're not doing either.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think apologetics disconnected from evangelism has a huge risk of becoming very, very arrogant or very, very dry and boring.
Yeah.
Or possibly even both. And I think apologetics is primarily an evangelistic tool. So I think you're absolutely right. And you'll find if you watch lots of our Short Answers, one pattern you'll notice there is that we always try and show how any question connects to Christ.
Yeah.
And I think this is something you can learn to do in apologetics. Whatever the question is, whether it's God and science or sexuality or other religions, don't just answer the question in a philosophical way. Show how there's an answer to the question, but that answer leads you inexorably to Jesus. Because ultimately, apologetics can bring someone to Jesus. Jesus is the one ultimately who's going to call someone to himself. But what we can do in apologetics is make that introduction, perhaps clear the obstacles out of the way so somebody can see Christ clearly, and then let Jesus do his work.
One of the interesting challenges has been is trying to take that 4-minute video, and then what we also do is we produce like a one minute like bullet point version of like the key point. And ultimately it's all about trying to pose questions that encourage Christians and non-Christians to actually think about their own worldview, whether it makes sense, whether it works. It's intended to show how the Christian worldview does work.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think one of the things that we sometimes forget as Christians is the power of questions. Sometimes we sort of think evangelism consists of us going out and perhaps trying to sort of sell Jesus in the same way you might sell washing powder. And I think that is a travesty of the gospel, really. I think it's interesting when you read the four gospels in the New Testament, how often Jesus used questions.
If we're going to be successful, we so want to be used as Christians, don't we, by God, and bringing someone to Christ, but we always want to see them fall at our feet and confess Christ right in front of us there and then in one go. Quite often it's maybe you're just asking a question that's maybe like pulling on a thread, and then if the Holy Spirit's working with them, they'll continue to pull that thread until the whole thing unravels.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's often a process as well. In fact, let me read you. This is sitting on my desk here. I just had an email in the other week from a story of a student who's come to faith in Christ after one of those university missions we talked about at the top of the show. And I love it because it really illustrates how you know these things are often a journey. The person who's emailed me this said, I just wanted to let you know about two new Christians at this university. I'll just tell you the story of one of them, upon whom you had an impact during the mission week. Now, the first was a guy called Marvin. I've changed his name for privacy. Marvin asked a question at the Thursday night event that you held called Why I'm Not an Atheist, but Why I Like Their Questions. Marvin asked about whether God is a racist, misogynistic, homophobic bully, etc. And he said afterwards he was surprised that there were convincing, reasonable answers to that question. And he ended up coming to your resurrection talk the next day. And then he got a hold of a copy of your book and read it. He then joined our Alpha group. And we noticed things changing when Marvin began defending the theist position against other atheists in the group. About a month ago, he realized that he needed to move from considering Christianity philosophically and consider it personally. And he said he realized at that point he'd been living for himself and that he needed both forgiveness and a purpose beyond himself. He began praying and he began a relationship with Jesus. He immediately wanted to get baptized and has now become part of the church that I and my husband are part of. I thought, I love that. It shows how it began with questions, yeah, and it continued with questions, and Christians patiently dealing with this guy until finally Jesus kind of takes over. It's amazing. Yeah, I love those stories.
That's great. Well, listen, how can listeners get involved with Short Answers? I mean, one of the things we've done is we've set up this Patreon channel that people can get involved, support it. But actually, there's a lot more going on there because we're actually putting all our content onto Patreon. So anyone who supports it for even as little as $1 a month, £1 a month, up to 5, 10, 25, however much they want to do, all our supporters get access to things like all the past conference talks, exclusive content. We've got some ideas coming up. It's almost like we're going to use this as a vehicle for training.
Yeah, it's great to talk about that. I mean, the first thing I'd say with Short Answers in terms of using them is encourage people to download them, share them, all those kind of things. Please do that. I occasionally get emails from people saying, you know, can I download them and play them in church on Sunday morning before the service? And I say, yeah, please, anything you want, just link back to us. But Short Answers does cost money to make, and so we set up this this Patreon channel, patreon.com/solas, a few months ago. And Patreon is a great service where you can really build a connection with those who like the kind of media, the arts, the resources that you're producing. And as you say, for as little as a dollar a month, people can get behind what we're doing. So we don't often overtly ask for money at Solas, but we are asking people who are using Short Answers, finding them helpful, to consider getting behind us and signing up as patrons. And if you do that, as you say, you get access to all this amazing kind of content we're going to put there as well as a thank you. All of our conference videos, digital copies of the magazine, all kinds of other bits and pieces. So there really is, it's not, you do actually get something for supporting us. But the main thing is you get to know that you're helping make Short Answers possible. I think the back of my mind is if we can get to, you know, sort of something like £1,000 a month, you know, coming in time, that means Short Answers can then be set up forever. It's financially viable. It stands on its own two feet, and we can keep doing it. And actually, it's growing.
And listeners, actually, if you've got any questions that you want us to look at answering, send them through the Solas website address at solas-cpc.org. Well, Andy, listen, thanks very much for coming into the studio.
Oh, it's been great chatting
with you. Where are you off to next week? What's your plans?
So it's a busy few weeks. I head off next week to Australia. I'll be touring Down Under for the first time. So I'm speaking in Melbourne and then speaking in Sydney. And from there, I come back to the UK and to Skegness. So my next 10 days out, Melbourne, Sydney, and Skegness.
The Andy Bannister World Tour.
I know.
Skegness. Actually, Skegness will be great.
I don't think Skegness and Sydney have ever been jammed quite in the same sentence like that. And someone pointed out to me, I think it may have been you, that the town logo they've picked for Skegness is a man leaning into the wind, trying to open an umbrella with the slogan, Skegness, it's bracing. But no, the exciting thing about both of those is you know, a huge opportunity to engage Christians and non-Christians, but particularly in Skegness, there's a big Christian conference called Spring Harvest Harvest. Yep. Happens every year. And 20,000 or more Christians descend on several locations. So there'll be thousands of them there in Skegness. So we're hoping that's a great opportunity to introduce people to Solas and to the kind of work we do. And so if you're listening to this, and there's a good chance some of you listening to this may go to things like Spring Harvest, do come up and say hello. Great opportunity to actually meet you in person.
We've got to work on your pronunciation of the word Solas. It's solace. It's Gaelic solace. For light.
Yeah, yeah. I'm an unrepentant Englishman kind of thing. You can take the Englishman out of England, but you know exactly. So there we go. I spent my 6 years in Canada mispronouncing Canadian words, so I shall just continue that trend. Continue that trend here.
Right. On that note, thank you for listening to this episode. I'm sure normal service will be resumed next week.
Or what passes for normal in this studio.
Listeners, have a good week and God bless.
Over and out.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge and oddly enough, but makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.